At Vuban, we develop custom software connecting systems, machines, and robots to ensure to unleash the full potential of data and AI.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to A3, the Robot Industry Podcast. I'm happy to have Hugh Foltz from Vuban here with me today. Hugh has been supporting companies in the development and execution of their digital transformation for more than 20 years. In 2018, he became co-owner and executive vice president of Vuban, a firm recognized for its expertise in artificial intelligence and the development of custom software solutions. Hugh, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you, Jim. Glad to be here too.
Hey, can you tell our audience a bit about Vuban and how you got started?
Sure. In fact, Vuban was founded 10 years ago. We started at the beginning building software, custom software for national defense. We are born in the good field to learn how to build very strong and very neat software. That's why the migration and the adoption at Vuban of the new technologies like AI, like artificial intelligence was kind of natural, and building a team in AI was also something that was already almost in the path of the company.
And you're based in Quebec, Canada. And why is that kind of important to the AI conversation?
It's interesting because Quebec and Canada around the world is, Canada itself is one of the, let's say between three and five, there is many opinions about it, but between the three and five major poles and major leaders in AI. So that's why we are very lucky to have so many universities in Quebec to hire very, very good data scientists and AI scientists. So to build a team like we have, so right now more than 80 people, it's for sure a lot easier to be in Quebec City, yes, but also with an office in Montreal.
Yes, and Quebec City is beautiful. For those listeners who have never been there, it is absolutely one of those places you've got to put on your bucket list. So I want to ask you a kind of a certain confusion on AI, artificial intelligence, and ML, machine learning. And how do you explain the difference between the two technologies?
Very easy. In fact, artificial intelligence is the common name that we give to all algorithm that want and have as a mission to mimic human and or predict what can be predict with human data. So if we want to mimic human in a manufacturing environment, AI can be very helpful and can do a lot to do that. Machine learning is just a subset of algorithm that is part of the big world of artificial intelligence today, and also very common is the deep learning and machine learning. So all those subsets, and there is also a operational research that is another subset. So there is many different categories and or families of models under the very large umbrella that we call artificial intelligence.
Thank you for that. And what's happening, Hugh, in artificial intelligence, especially in advanced manufacturing and robotics? What are some of the trends?
There is a lot happening since a few years. In fact, we are facing kind of I feel at the tipping point where AI, and not only AI, but also everything related to data in the manufacturing world is finally taking off. And it's not nothing to say that, because for many years, what we can call also the digital transformation in the manufacturing world was not a good understanding, I would say, and probably not a rush in many, many companies to do that. So what we see today is one very huge pressure that comes from the fact that there is no more manpower to produce, and the manufacturing world is struggling. So they are looking to automate as much as possible and everything that is possible to automate. And so that's also part of the reason, and probably a big part of the reason why AI is so huge trend and so many projects are going on right now.
Do you feel that one of the trends is kind of a FOMO, we say in English? It's like a fear of missing out. So is there a bit of a fear factor in AI?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, right. I think there is probably a FOMO trend also, or for sure they are afraid or they are scared. They are scared for many reasons because it's at one point, and we are in late. There is nothing new about that in Quebec and Canada. And it's around Canada and US, few years ago, US was almost at the same level of automation that the Canada was. But the thing is, as we know, Americans, they you know, when you eat the giant, they normally stand up and fight back. So they got it exactly like we got it by the pandemic. The thing is, their reaction was at the very beginning of the pandemic to stand up and invest massively in automation, and including AI and robots and everything. So in a few years, so in 2 to 3 years, we are getting, and we are in late now. So compared to America, so to US. So today, I think there is clearly a fear of not being able to catch up. So probably something related to this movement and trend also.
So who is buying artificial intelligence? Is it kind of the C-suite, like the president, or is it the IT or the OT departments?
I think the first to be seduced by the potential of artificial intelligence is the C-suite, yes. At the end of the day, the IT department must be also convinced. So we always have a tour and many people to convince and to bring on board for all the projects that we deliver. The good thing that I can say is, at least today, it's much more common and a lot better understand what can be done with AI, and also what is probably too far-fetched to look at with AI, because for many years it was the Saint Graal that the AI can do everything and pretending that it can do everything, but it's for sure not the case, obviously. So this better comprehension of what is really AI, and also looking at data first, not only AI as a buzzword, it is a big change, and it simplifies a lot our life for sure.
So what does the typical project look like for Vuban when you talk about AI and manufacturing?
It depends if the company or the manufacturer is already in his, what do we like to call digital transformations, for many years or not. If the company is at the very beginning of his ride, we are looking for, like the good old principle in project management, we look for a small project with very high impact and with also low risk. So we have to manage all the risks, including technological risk, of course. We are looking for, if possible, a zero risk technologically. So small project and quick wins are the projects that we are trying to tackle at the beginning for a company that didn't start, let's say, that is not automate that much. For the rest, if we have many large companies, many large clients that have automation in their factories since many years, for them, it's another word, because at the beginning, when you look for quick wins, you think about predicting sales, you look for quality control, including cameras to replace human looking at things and trying to see if there is a defect or a default, and also sizing thing. So there is a lot of small projects, and looking abroad, you can also look at automate the entire supply chain. So that's the real end game for many manufacturers in the world. So that's where the replenishment that can be done in real time for gathering all the data that we can along the supply chain. So from the very beginning of the chain, if possible, in the factory of your suppliers, to the end and the other end of the supply chain, so the customer itself, we can almost do magic, meaning that we can rebalance the supply chain in real time and ensure that a company will produce not only at a good speed with a good efficiency and everything, but the right thing to maximize the profit. And so a lot of concepts that are not simply possible if human try to calculate and to make it by himself. So if the algorithm is trained and well trained to do that prediction, and the algorithm is giving the good advice and insight, so it's almost like saying the factory is managed by the algorithm at the end of the day.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. So how long does a project take? I know that's kind of an unfair question, because some project, how long is a piece of string? But maybe just give our audience an idea of how long this would take.
For the same two categories that I mentioned, for a company that start and for the quick wins, we should look at again, small projects that must take maximum 3 months to deliver. 3 months, and if, let's say, the algorithm and the project is delivered, there is a training time after that. So probably in 6 months maximum, the projects must be installed and deployed in the industry or in the factory. For bigger project, when we attack a supply chain, it takes at least a year, probably two years to finalize. And there is also a concept very important in AI. It's the training and the retraining of the algorithm. So it's never over. So the algorithm will get more performant and more accurate over time. So even if we deploy for first time to manage the supply chain of a factory, for sure, a year after, with more data and more training, the algorithm will be, again, more accurate, more performant, and there is a more gain. So those phases of maintaining the algorithm in the system are normally part of the process and the ride.
When we talk a little bit about some of the use cases that you might have for robotics and manufacturing?
Sure. But robots are always part of the equation for us. It's of course, if a company contact us and say, hey, we want to automate software, what we do at Vuban is software. So we know very well the players in the robotic world, but we are neither an integrator robot, neither a robot specialist by itself. So, but we connect with robots. So the point is, automate a factory needs very large variety of solutions, and robots is almost always around there. So we always suggest to our customer to look at their digital transformation, again, as an objective, and that must be very high in their priorities for the year or for the next 10 to 15 years. But which project do you prioritize? I think if the priority is to put a robot because there is no more manpower for this specific job, it can be the good thing to do before looking at AI and any other things. So it's always a question of, again, what is the project with the higher impact, with the less difficulty to implement and fast in size that can be delivered and implemented in the company. So the question must include, and AI is exactly like robots, simply another tool in the toolbox. That's it.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it. Thank you for that. I guess you may have already answered this about some of your prospects. Are they doing prototype projects, like small projects, so they can show these quick wins?
In fact, they have to do it every time. The thing is, even if I said earlier that it can be magic or close to magic, it's not magical at all. And it's an algorithm is simply mathematics. So once we say that, it means also that we have to do a proof of concept to ensure that we are not working for nothing. And we also have a project that is not only manageable in regards of the risk, but also that will deliver the performance and the accuracy that we are looking for. For instance, if we want to automate a process and or predict sales, for example, to keep it simple, sales, predicting sales is something very common, by the way. So in the manufacturing world, we have developed so many models and for so many kind of industries to predict their sales for a year in advance. And that's always the goal, more or less. And the real name of a good algorithm, or the real end game of an algorithm predicting sales, is the accuracy. If we predict sales with an accuracy of 60%, at 50% it's probabilistic. At 50%, it's like flipping a coin. So clearly, if the data is not correlating enough, we will get poor result and a poor algorithm predicting something without enough precision. So this question of doing a proof of concept to ensure that we can get, as let's say, fast enough the right precision is key. And it happens that we kill project even just doing the proof of concept. We can say, and it happens in the past, correlation was not strong enough, and we say it's not going to happen. We don't have enough data. We should look at another project. So yes, we have to do that all the time.
And that's a good segue into my next question, Hugh. What is the ROI of AI? I guess it depends on the industry, but I'd be very interested to hear your comments on that.
It depends if we are tackling or working on the right process. Because, and it's always the same question, but one of the two, let's say the two questions that I like to ask before we start a project in AI with all of our customers is, where are you making a lot of money? For example, for this one is the first one. The other one is, where are you losing a lot of money? If we tackle it, if we attack those processes or department, whatever it is, and focus on those department losing and very, very profitable or losing a lot of money, and we optimize them, 3 or 5% optimization, where you lose or where you make a lot of money is, of course, a very short ROI. So questions very easy like that can change the game. And we are looking for game changers also. So the good answer is, if the ROI for your first projects in AI, if the ROI is longer than a year, probably it's not the right project. So that's normally what I say to our customers.
No, that's very interesting. On the hardware side, like for the projects you're building, are you into, like, do you prefer the new builds, like new equipment, or do you prefer retrofits where you're coming into maybe a system in a factory?
This is a cool question, because there is a very huge trend also to use those old machines that are in our factories and refurbish them. And I love this trend, by the way. So for one reason, the actual robots that are available and so cheap today compared to 10 years ago can handle the things that are not possible with the actual machine, but with a few add-ons on a machine, including cameras and training an algorithm to identify and do the QA and everything that we take care of at Vuban, and working with a robot integrator, we can give to a machine another 10 to 15 years with a pretty small investment. So yes, it's something clearly to consider for many companies. So rather to look for a brand new machine, an old one can still do the job, and with a good upgrade, not so expensive, it's crazy what we can do.
That's interesting that you can give old machinery new lives by putting a new layer of AI and like you say, cameras and sensors and such around it. So that's really interesting. And how much are people spending? I keep giving you these questions that are really hard to answer, but maybe it's a percentage of machinery. So if I'm going to maybe build $1 million machine, should I put 10 or 15% around that machine for AI?
I try to not link the investment in AI and or in digital transformation to machine too much, because the right number is how much are you investing in technology by itself, let's say, all technologies. And the right number was published by a few companies, a few consulting firms. One good study about it was done by Deloitte. And the right number is between 3 to 5% per year that must be normally, so 3 to 5% of the revenues of the company must be reinvest in technologies. And it includes machine, it includes cameras, AI and everything. So the play and the real end game, again, must be to disconnect the dependency between human and the operation and or the factory. So I don't want to say it's normally 10% to optimize and automate a machine and give a layer of AI on the top of a machine. It's not true. I prefer to say, again, if you look at the right small projects and or at the projects that are providing a very good ROI with low risk, again, if possible, no risk. And about this risk, by the way, an interesting parenthesis that I always say, AI is at a stage since already many years where there is no research, neither, and clearly not fundamental research anymore that need to be done for 95% of the projects. So that's something also very important. So the manufacturers that are discovering AI are still a little bit in the concept that it is probably not mature, and AI is it ready or not? It is ready, and it is so ready that the algorithm that we use and that we implement in almost all our projects are available out there. So the team that we have, even if they have their PhDs and post-PhDs, the key is those guys have done their research when they were at universities, and they were bored the research, so they were looking to apply AI. So it's clearly what the manufacturers must understand. AI is mature, and nothing about research or fundamental research must or need to be done for the vast majority of the projects.
You probably hear this quote all the time that data is the new oil, or data is gold. Do you have any comments on that? Is that a line you might use?
Yeah, we use this one actually. And yes, data is the new oil. And I don't know if you know the genesis of it, but data is the new oil is, and there is also a link with AI that I can give you to complete, because data is the new oil is referring to the fact that data is can make you rich as a company if you use your data and you empower your data. And we are, as I'm sure you know that, we are a very strong believer of it. But the thing about this quote is also saying comparing data to oil is also the point where oil, rough oil in a barrel. If we put a barrel in the room, the only thing that you can do with the oil, except putting fire in it, is nothing. So oil must be refined, must be treated, must be converted and everything. So it's exactly the same with data. Data without the good effort to clean it, to take care of it, to label it and everything, to put it in the data warehouse, in the data lake. So all those concepts are real and are very important. So raw data, yes, it's very important, but you cannot do that much with raw data only. And for AI, the next quote that we all always say after data is the new oil is AI is the new electricity. So it's referring to the fact that exactly like electricity changed the world around 100 years ago, it's happening right now with AI. The same change in the business models and in everything surrounding us in our lives and our personal lives and jobs is changing.
That's a very exciting time. Hugh, is there anything that we haven't talked about that you'd like to mention?
No, I think the message is clear. My main message is always the same. If we have something to hear about AI, it's ready, and I think all companies must jump in the train. And you mentioned it earlier, it's time. We have powerful technologies available, and automation is key if we want to still have a strong economy in Canada. And yes, AI is clearly part of the equation to get there.
Hugh, how can people get a hold of you if they're listening and they want to understand more about AI and what Vuban does?
We have many documents, white papers available on our website. And for French people that are listening, I'm also writing blogs for Journal Les Affaires in Quebec every month. I'm writing a Biet blog. So we are communicating as much as we can, offering conferences also to democratize AI and also simplify AI for the concept at least. And of course, my email, hug@vuban.com, is easy to reach me.
Great. Thank you very much for coming on, and we'll look forward to chatting more in the future.
Thanks a lot, Jim. Thank you for the invitation.
Our sponsor for this episode is Ehrhardt Automation Systems. Ehrhardt builds and commissions turnkey solutions for their worldwide clients. With over 80 years of precision manufacturing, they understand the complex world of robotics, automated manufacturing, and project management, delivering world-class custom automation on time and on budget. Contact one of their sales engineers to see what Ehrhardt can build for you. And they're at info@ehrhardtautomation.com. And Ehrhardt is spelled Ehrhardt. I'd like to thank our partner A3, the Association for Advancing Automation. They're the leading trade association in the world for robotics, vision and imaging, motion control and motors, and the industrial artificial intelligence technologies. And you can visit them at automate.org to learn more. And I'd like to thank our partner, Painted Robot. Painted Robot builds and integrates digital solutions. They're a web development firm that offers SEO, digital, social marketing, and can set up and connect CRM and other ERP tools to unify marketing, sales, and operations. And they're at paintedrobot.com. And if you'd like to get in touch with us at the Robot Industry Podcast, you can find me, Jim Beretta, on LinkedIn. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Be safe out there. Today's podcast was produced by Customer Traction Industrial Marketing, and I'd like to thank my nephew, Chris Gray, for the music, my partner, Janet, and our partners, A3 and Painted Robot, and of course, our sponsor, Earhart Automation Systems.